Hey, everybody, and welcome to Viewing Angles. It's the only movie podcast, and it's me, your soon-to-be laser-eyed Dan Leo, a host, whatever. And with me is the very venerable, second host.
Yep, Robert Mackey. So venerable.
Oh, so venerable. We've got so much to talk about this week, Rob.
Yeah,
this is so much. It is San Diego Comic-Con season. So a lot of trailers, a lot of news came out all about movies. We're going to talk about most of it, probably miss something because not everything is cool. And then we're going to talk about the new Lion King movie, Jon Favreau's photorealistic fuck fest. Yeah, but not in a good way. I'm so upset. We're going to talk about how upset we are. But first, we need to announce something that we've been thinking about for at least 20 minutes.
We're getting married
to the idea of having a VJ Spoilers podcast. We're no longer going to be doing these weird spoiler-free reviews. We got to this decision through market research.
Mm-hmm. Focus testing.
In the white male 20 to 30 group.
Yeah, people who listen to podcasts. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Especially this podcast.
Mm-hmm. You want to tell them?
Yeah, so we're going to be all spoilers now. We're going to be all spoilers all the time. All of our reviews are just going to be us talking very frankly about the movie. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say about that.
If you haven't seen the movie or you have no interest in seeing the movie, I guess just don't listen to this pod.
If you never want to see the movie, if you don't plan on seeing the movie, listen to the podcast. If you want to see the movie and want it to be unspoiled, then wait till you see the movie and then listen to the podcast.
Yeah. Exert some self-control.
Exactly. Just because things are available doesn't mean you need to use them.
That's your life lesson for the day.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of life lessons and self-control,
we're talking about the new
Top Gun trailer. It's Top Gun Maverick, starring Tom Cruise as the toppest gun.
Yeah.
Wow.
Top Gun is his name.
Yeah, this is the first real trailer, right, Rob?
Yes.
The other one was a teaser.
Was there a Top Gun teaser before?
I think there was a light teaser, or maybe just a poster. I think there was a poster. This movie's happening.
I know we had a name. I knew it was going to be called Top Gun Maverick, but this is the first full trailer. And boy, I'm actually so much more hyped than I thought I would be for a Top Gun sequel.
Oh, me too. I am so hyped. The aerial scenes in this trailer look pretty fucking sick. I am so hyped.
And it's being directed by Joseph Kaczynski, who is known for Tron Legacy, which I love, Oblivion, which is fun merely for the fact because the premise revolves around an army of Tom Cruise clones wiping out humanity.
Hell yeah.
And then Only the Brave, which is a super underrated film. I think everybody should see that.
What's Only the Brave? I don't think I've heard of it.
The wild firefighters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's based on a true story. Fantastic. Everybody gives great performances. It's got a stacked cast.
Very interesting. I'll have to check that out. But I'm pretty excited for this new Top Gun movie. Just, you know, I'm on the Tom Cruise kick. He's breaking up different Mission Impossibles with this Top Gun movie. It's really just like they're doing real fighter pilot stuff.
Do you think Tom Cruise learned how to fly a fighter pilot for this movie?
There's no way they would let him. He's like almost 60 years old. I feel like that's too old, though. Yeah, these are like, oh man, that's a lot. I don't know, man. That's a whole different thing.
He's also a Scientologist, so he probably got David Miscavige to pull those strings.
Right. Yeah. They probably have deep ties with the U.S. military.
Yeah. I want to know what does Tom Cruise's insurance company think every time they hear that he's doing a new movie or that he wants to learn
owns
to like
his own insurance company.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like I can't even begin to understand.
Insured through the Church of Scientology or something.
Yeah. Something fucked up like that. I'm sure Scientology pays for everything.
Yeah. With blood.
So we got Goose's kid. It's Miles Teller. We got Glenn Powell. Like other people are in this movie. Ed Harris is in this movie.
Oh yeah,
it's pretty sick. I'm overall excited for it. I'm more excited than I think I should be. But
it's really I didn't realize how much power that theme song had over me.
Yeah, no, I really didn't realize how soft a spot I had for Top Gun.
Yeah,
before this trailer came out.
Also, apparently, like, there's they're remixing or remastering. They're just re-recording Danger Zone for this film. So I'm like, very excited to hear
Kenny Loggins is.
Yes,
he's doing like an acoustic version.
Yes, I hope it's like a very sad, somber.
Yeah, it's all on piano. Just Kenny Loggins, a piano and the mic.
I just hope we have another plane with the boy scene. And the trailer made it look like we're gonna get one of those. Like
more
this
volleyball,
movie's,
yeah,
yeah. This is gonna be homoerotic. It's gonna be homoerotic. It's gonna fetishize the military. I can't wait. I am there. My butt's in the seat already.
Let's do it. All right. Speaking of butts in the seat, It Chapter 2, that trailer also came out this week. It's pretty scary. It looks pretty scary, Rob.
It's a good trailer. I'm into it. I'm very excited. My biggest takeaway from this trailer is it looks like we are getting the weird multiversal shit at the end of It Chapter 2 like we should be. Like, we're going to see the ritual with Chud. We're going to see the turtle.
I don't know what any of these things mean. I'm still reading it.
Man, you got a ways to go. How far are you?
I'm like 300 pages in.
Okay.
So almost a third of the way done.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I think the first trailer was a little bit better than this. Like the one where it's just the scene of Beverly and the old woman.
Oh, yeah. That was a very good trailer.
I thought that was great. My favorite trailers are ones that are just like short excerpts of the film.
Yeah, and that one worked very well.
Yeah, this one felt a little bit more like mass market based. Like it's clearly designed to build hype. It doesn't really capture, I think, a single tone of the film very well. And it's
but
it jumps around.
But that's also what I like. I can't really get a read on what the movie's going to be like.
Yeah,
because I don't really want to know. Because the first one was very surprising. I felt like in terms of the tone jumps that it had.
Yeah. But
and I like is a part of like the horror movie. I know I'm going to go. It's a sequel. They can afford to kind of be like, look at all the stuff that's going to be in this movie. You don't even know what this is going to be like.
Yeah.
I really have no idea what it's going to be like.
Yeah. And I love that they're all adults. And Bill Hader, man, I cannot wait to see Bill Hader in this film.
Oh, yeah. Hader, McAvoy, Chastain. Like, I'm ready for everybody. And it looks, the soundtrack is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this just terrifying sounds.
Yeah. Oh, man. Mm. I still wish we could have seen Cary Fukunaga's vision of it. But yeah, this is very good. This is
Andy
a very
Muschietti,
good franchise.
Yeah. He's pretty good. I'm willing to see how it goes.
Yeah. The hype is there.
Yeah. Speaking of the hype is there, Robert, I don't know if the hype is there for you based on you just watching this trailer, but It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. The Mr. Rogers trailer also came out.
This was not released at Comic-Con for the record, though, but I wish they released it at Comic-Con.
That would have been there's so many trailers came out this week. It's like every studio is trying to get in on the trailer madness.
Yeah.
But probably everything's trying to get in front of Lion King.
Mm-hmm.
No,
we'll get to what's coming in front of Lion King, though.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. This looks like a pretty standard biopic. I think Tom Cruise's performance feels kind of weird. And maybe it's Tom Hanks, yes.
Not Tom Cruise.
My mind is still on Tom Cruise.
Wouldn't that be wild, though?
That I would pay to see that movie. Tom Cruise is Mr. Rogers.
Rogers.
Sexy Mr. Rogers.
On a motorcycle.
Yeah. Oh, man. I do think Tom Hanks' performance looks kind of odd in this movie, though. And maybe it's just because Mr. Rogers was such a public and visible person. Like, it's so easy to identify his mannerisms that even if somebody's doing a fantastic performance imitating that person, it still feels off.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I feel about Tom Hanks portraying Mr. Rogers.
He seems a little robotic. He seems a little like taking the... I mean, but Mr. Rogers was kind of a you know, a man made of clay, like just very kind of like still like not really, but a good type of clay. He's not like in always set in a bad mood. He's always in the best mood ever. Yeah, it's just like he never like, really gets super expression,
like a fresh jar of Play-Doh.
Yeah, not it's like great.
Yeah, not one that's been left out for a week.
Right, but he's not super. The ranges of emotion that he displays at any one time are not a whole lot. It's a lot of welcoming, nice, kind, that kind of stuff. He doesn't really, you know, move his emotional range a whole lot. And I think that's what he's doing, but it looks weird on screen.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it'll play differently in the film, and maybe we'll get to see a little bit more of that performance come out with, like, the behind-the-scenes stuff. But to me, this movie just kind of feels like it doesn't need to exist at all, especially with the documentary that just came out.
Yeah, I don't know what this movie, I mean, who knows? It could be a similar style of End of the Tour, the David Foster Wallace movie with Jason Segel and Jesse Eisenberg. You should check it out. But it's got the same kind of vibe, you know, a journalist talking to a famous person. Mm-hmm. We get to know that famous person more and what they could bring to the world. It does seem like the documentary really knocked it out of the park at the beginning. So who knows if this can even if this will hold a candle to it. Like, I don't really know what the perception is going to be. I'm sure I'm going to be there for it, but I'm going to be crying incessantly.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know what this director's done in the past, what his track record is like. But to me, this movie, and maybe it's just the way the trailer is cut, but it feels like overly sentimental and almost just like exploitative of audiences.
Mm. Love of Mr. Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah, I could maybe see that. Well, but you know, it's also just an abomination.
Just a goddamn sin.
It's the Cats trailer. Holy shit.
The Cats trailer is here.
What you've all been waiting for. Us
Tom
talking
Hooper
about the Cats.
Has followed through on his threats to cinema. It is coming, and there's nothing you can do to stop it.
I hope that this movie will make $10 at the box office.
This movie.
There's no way people are going to see this. I cannot. Oh my God. I'm so upset.
Yeah. Part of me wants it to be successful just because I think it'd be hilarious. I also like you know, this movie is going to have a presence in the 2020 Oscars. There's going to be a live Cats musical number on stage next year's Oscars. It's inevitable. It's happening.
Tom Hooper, what have you brought upon this earth?
He is pissed at audiences for not receiving the Danish Girl very well, and this is his revenge.
It's our fault. It's all our fault, Tom Hooper. Yeah. Please, just make the King's Speech 2.
Yeah.
The King's Speecher.
You got it. That's clever. Yep.
I just can't. I don't know. I have a friend who is really into this. And I
into Cats
feel. Yeah, I feel like I have a lot of empathy. I just cannot put myself in the shoes of anyone who thinks the Cats trailer looks like something not only like good, like not even that, like worth watching, like a contribution to society. It really just looks like pure trash.
Yeah,
but not good. Not good. Like, oh, we tried to make a movie and then it turned out bad. It's like, stop, please. This like the way that you've set this whole thing up is fucked up. Like, please stop it.
Well, I think like, God, what even is Cats about?
It's Rob. It's about cats. It is literally just about a bunch of feral cats.
Yeah, they say. But then, like, I started reading the Wikipedia, and they have like a lore. Like, there's a lore to Cats. They're called Jellicles. Is that what they're called?
No, that's like that. So basically, they all get to sing their song about how they all want to die and go to heaven. So they're all like their eighth life or whatever. And they're all like, hey, tonight somebody's going to die and they're going to go to heaven. And then it's the shitty cat, apparently.
Wait, so the shitty cat wins?
There's no winning, Rob. There's no winning. They all lose. They're
in a
cats.
Game, yeah. In the
They're
game of cats.
Exactly.
In the just game of lose. Cats.
It's all dice and losing.
Okay. Can we talk about how many furries Idris Elba is going to awaken because of his role in this movie.
Ah, God, I think this will be a good, I honestly will, when people say like, oh, I saw that Cats movie, and I'll say, yeah, why'd you see it? And like, if they say like, oh, I'm into the songs, I'll say, no, no one's into the songs.
No, I know you're thirsty
for the dancing.
I know you're thirsty for Idris Elba, furry Idris Elba.
Oh, this is just,
dude, I'm thirsty for furry Idris Elba.
The fuzzy, furries, keep them inside.
Fuzzy,
you know?
Fuzzy Jason Derulo.
Yeah.
Well, oh, I hope that I get to see this in a theater where there are some like real over the top Cats fans that just start like meowing with the movie. That would make
there
my
will
day.
Be people meowing in every theater that has this movie.
I can't wait.
Movie theaters should agree not to show this movie.
Movie theaters should have a professional apologist standing outside every auditorium.
An apologist for Cats? They're trying to convince you why Cats is good?
Okay, apologist or apologize. Is apologizer like a... Is that a
word? Yeah, I think that would be an apologizer. Because like, an apologist is someone who's like, listen, he's done some bad things in the past, but he's changed now.
Yeah, like, but are there multiple... Like, does this have multiple meanings? Can you use it in various contexts?
Only if the people you're talking to understand what you're saying.
Great. So I used it correctly then.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. But I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell. So I guess you didn't use it correctly. Because I was like, wait, they're out there to like explain to you why Cats is actually good, or they're there to apologize for
Cats. The Cats apologists are already on Twitter. Like, you already have that crowd.
No, I'm lucky that I'm not keyed into that part of Twitter at all. The Cats apologists, yeah.
They're going to be coming for you. All the Cats fans listening. Hey, Tom Hooper, I know you're a big fan of the show. Follow Dan on Twitter. Tweet him exclusive Cats videos.
I will not watch them. You'll have to get me like the guy in Clockwork Orange and just pull my eyeballs up.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and force it.
I'm gonna LASIK a fucking Cat's image into your eyeball.
Sick, dude.
Yeah.
Rob, you take the wheel. Talk about the what's all the comic book news that came out this week,
man,
at San Diego.
Boy. We got a lot of comic book news. Marvel held their first Hall H panel in quite a while this year, and it was to announce their entire lineup of Phase 4. So let's just jump into it. First one, the least important announcement of the year, the Black Widow movie is still happening, coming out May 1st, 2020, starring Scarlett Johansson, David Harbour, and I think those are the two biggest names.
Cool. I'm glad this is happening. I don't really have anything else to say about it, but sure, why not? Yeah.
Yeah, if it's good, it's good, but it just feels weird as a prequel. It feels like it's going to be another like very inconsequential entry.
Yeah. Let's get through I feel like it'll be more interesting to get through all of them and then talk about how we feel about all of them, how we feel about like the whole thing.
All right.
So maybe just like read them all off real quick.
Speed round. Fall 2020. Falcon and Winter Soldier Disney Plus series. November 6th, 2020, The Eternals movie.
Okay.
February 12th, 2021, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Sick.
Spring 2021, WandaVision Disney Plus series.
Hmm.
May 7th, 2021, which is also spring 2021, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. God
badass
damn.
Title.
I know. I fucking love it. Also spring 2020. Man, spring is packed in 2021 for Marvel fans. Loki's Disney
Plus series. 2 years away.
Yeah, so get hype. Hey, they need time to build this up again. summer 2021. This is, I think, the most interesting announcement. The animated What If series coming to Disney Plus with the original voice cast or the original actors of every MCU character returning to portray the animated version of themselves in the series.
Wait, so like Robert Downey Jr. is going to be Iron Man and stuff like that?
If they do any Iron Man stuff, but yeah, apparently.
Oh.
Yeah. Huh. Pretty cool. Fall 2021.
That probably just means they'll have all the shitty characters. Like
probably, yeah. Just all the fucking B characters.
Mm-hmm.
Fall 2021, the Hawkeye series. Sure. And then November 5th, 2021.
How do we know Jeremy Renner is going to be alive then? Like, this is so crazy.
How do we know anybody is going to be alive by then? You know?
Yeah. Oh, man. That's what's really going to test the MCU is when one of their, like, main cast members, like, dies.
Suddenly dies. Dude, they just open up a portal in the multiverse, grab another actor, be like, oh, he's this character from a different universe.
Yeah. Oh, God. He's Ansel Elgort now for some reason.
Or they'll just, like, have them, like, they'll write them off to be, like, mortally injured and then just like construct them somehow and be like, yeah, we saved his life, but we had to make him look different for whatever reason. And then the big one, November 5th, 2021, Thor 4, Love and Thunder.
More like Thor.
With a four?
But it's like T-H-O-U-R.
Yeah, Thor?
Thor.
Hmm. I'd rather see it TH4R because they both make the same amount of sense.
It's too funny to not say out loud. Thor 4, you mean Thor?
Yeah.
but you have to explain that it's T-H-O-U-R.
Yeah, you have to have like a post-it note to write out right. The joke, you know?
Yeah. But then like once you hear it, you can't unhear it.
I can't wait for
Thor.
I'm only thinking of TH4R now. That's my Thor 4.
That doesn't make any... The 4.
Yeah, just like Fant 4 stick.
Oh, Jesus Christ. yeah. Do they officially announce that they're doing like the Fantastic 4 too?
They did. So yeah, these are the undated announcements. The big
Tell me about the undated ones.
So they mentioned, they closed the panel with an announcement that Mahershala Ali is playing Blade. There's no release window set yet. We don't even know if it's a movie or a TV series. True. But Mahershala Ali is playing Blade. I want it to be rated R so bad. Probably won't be.
How can it not be? How can it not be? Like it's that means it's got to be on. They're probably going to do a show. And it's going to be because that's the only place where I feel like they've had the leeway for making it more adult.
Yeah, but I mean, I kind of want them just to push into the box office at this point because they've seen the returns on Logan and Deadpool. They mm-hmm. own both those characters now. So here's the thing. I was expecting them to make some Deadpool announcements at this convention too, but nothing yet.
Deadpool is dead.
Deadpool's not dead. I bet they're going to pull a Spider-Man with him, and at one point they're going to drop a trailer for a new movie, and it's going to end with Deadpool showing up in the trailer, just like in Civil War. Spider-Man shows up at the end of the trailer, and everybody lost their goddamn minds. They're going to do that with Deadpool. I guarantee it.
Very interested to see that. I think Blade is that the end of the announcements?
They said they're working on Fantastic Four, they're working on X-Men, they're working on like Black Panther 2 and Captain Marvel 2. So like he just kind of quickly rattled off the things they didn't have dates for yet.
Okay, cool. Blade is definitely the thing I'm most excited for.
Yes, it's also I think what we know the least about.
Yeah, I do think it's hilarious. The story that came out was that Mahershala Ali, like after Green Book. After he like won the Oscar, he called up Kevin Feige and he's like, "I want to be Blade, dude."
That's what he did with his Oscar power. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, way to like wave your dick around,
fucking,
dude.
What a fucking nerd! I love that he wanted one role and he's like, "I want to be Blade."
He is definitely like an amazing actor and also a huge ass nerd.
Oh yeah,
like,
dude,
that's why he's
in
Alita. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. This guy is nerdy as shit. He is so good.
Wonder what his favorite anime is.
I bet he loves anime.
Oh, yeah. He probably loves JoJo. Fuck yeah.
JoJo's Bizarro Adventures.
Yes. Oh, man. I'm very happy, though. This was like,
he's probably more of a cowboy. He's like a Cowboy Bebop guy.
Oh, I'm sure he loves that, too. Like, he likes the classy shit, but he also enjoys, like, the guilty pleasures.
Yeah, the new wild shit.
Yeah.
He's seen every One Piece episode.
You think he's a Naruto fan? Do you think he Naruto runs when he's in his mansion alone? Does he Naruto run down the hallway?
Yeah, you can just, it's just like all quiet.
Yeah.
And it's completely dark mansion.
You just do like, the pitter patter of him and his like fucking flippers, Naruto running down.
I know he does that. I know for a fact he does that. It's good. I'm excited for it. I'm glad Wesley Snipes came out on Twitter and he was like, Hey, chillax, everybody. I'm definitely cool with Mahershala Ali being Blade. Like,
yeah,
whatever.
I
dude.
Hope he has a cameo, though. Like, I hope
he should.
Yeah.
Because those movies are good.
Oh, yeah. Not the third one.
The Blade movie. I have actually never seen the third one.
It's trash. It's directed by David S. Goyer.
Oh,
who's
man.
Just the worst human being.
Yeah. He wrote the first one, didn't he?
Yeah, he wrote all three of them.
Yeah, he's written a bunch of superhero movies,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he wrote The Dark Knight.
So what's shitty about him?
Everything about him is a person.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Apparently he has, like, a habit of being racist on set.
Oh.
And he's also not that great of a writer. I think if you look at what he's done on his own without, like, a talented director behind the scenes, it's all trash.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe it.
But yeah.
Cool.
But Blade 1 and 2, great movies. Especially Blade 2.
Yeah, Blade 2 is real, real fucking wild.
Motherfuckers, I was trying to ice skate uphill.
That's Blade 1.
It's all Blade.
It's all Blade to me.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the new slate? Is this what?
This is phase 4. This is all that's coming out for the next 2 years.
So does that mean the main people, the main Avengers are Spider-Man,
well,
the Guardians with Thor and Doctor Strange and
Black Panther, Captain Marvel.
Black Panther, Captain Marvel.
Hopefully Blade.
Yeah, Blade is not going to be in the Avengers.
If this is the only reason.
Has Blade ever been in the Avengers?
He's made appearances with the West Coast Avengers before.
West Coast Avengers?
Yes. But
the,
I mean, there
are
stories,
the
there are stories
Avengers?
Where Blade like works with the Avengers too. They're the Avengers of the West Coast.
So just like the whole time, like LA is getting fucked up by aliens and the Avengers are like, we're New York based. Like,
it's,
we
yeah,
can't.
That's
fuck.
Exactly what it is. They're like, yo, it takes a little bit of time to get across the country. So they formed the West Coast Avengers, and the West Coast Avengers is like, I think at some point Iron Fist was in them. I know Moon Knight's part of the West Coast Avengers. Elektra has been part of the West Coast Avengers before. It's just rotate. It's where all the B Avengers go when people get tired of them in the mainline story.
Right.
Except Moon Knight. Moon Knight's fucking awesome.
Yeah. And so that they're also adding Shang-Chi is the new one.
Mm-hmm.
Who is it Kung Fu? Is he a Kung Fu guy? Oh,
He's a Kung Fu dude. And here's the thing about this. Apparently, so the Ten Rings is kind of like a triad gang.
It's like the 36 chambers.
Yes, totally. But apparently this movie
That's
will,
a Wu-Tang reference.
I know it's a Wu-Tang reference. I've listened to music before, Dan. But this is where we're going to see the real Mandarin, apparently.
Like, yeah, the Mandarin famously appearing as a fake thing in Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
As Ben Kingsley.
Yeah, people were upset.
But what are they going to call him? Shang-Chi, it's going to be weird for China. What are they going to like remove to make China look cool? Like,
What do you mean? What are they removing to make China look cool?
Like, you know how in the Mandarin or in Iron Man 3, they didn't call the Mandarin the Mandarin. They called him something else because of China or whatever. They've notoriously built the market around like China. Now it's like the second biggest box office.
Yeah.
So is Shang-Chi going to be in modern day China? Is he going to, you know, have some friendly interactions with the government? You know, what is that going to be? Are they going to completely ignore what's going on in China? Or, you know, what kind of crime is he fighting?
I think it's going to be set in America.
You think so?
Yeah. He's an Asian American, and mm-hmm. he's probably going to be fighting some like Chinatown gangs or something. But honestly, I am not that familiar with Shang-Chi.
Did they kind of pull one out? Like
this is a deep cut.
This is a deep cut.
This is
yeah.
real deep. Yeah, but I'm happy because it seems like it's basically Iron Fist but done right.
Yeah, where they just like, well, we fucked up Iron Fist, so we gotta
yeah, we gotta
deeper.
Fix this. Also, I love how those Marvel shows just aren't canon anymore. Like, you've got Cottonmouth becoming Blade.
Well, apparently, yeah, they haven't really addressed because technically they're still canon.
Technically, yeah, but also. Like, the movies are never going to acknowledge the Marvel shows, ever. I guarantee it.
Correct. Well, yeah, because especially now that with Disney Plus, they're making it like this is a part of phase four is like a 6-episode series of WandaVision or whatever.
And that's why they canceled the Marvel series so quickly. As soon as they like announced Disney Plus.
Give me those rights.
Yeah. You're all done. I don't care how good your shows are, which is a bummer because Daredevil is fucking great. But yeah, what is your most hyped announcement out of the Marvel lineup?
Definitely Blade. But other than that, I think the Doctor Strange 2 seems pretty interesting. Thor Love and Thunder seems also interesting, especially with the Tessa Thompson being the new Queen of Asgard and the announcement that Natalie Portman is going to be female Thor.
Yeah, Lady Thor, the Mighty Lady Thor. And also Valkyrie is going to be announced as gay in this one, which I love that that's like a hype moment.
Yeah, so do we think that Lady Thor and Valkyrie are going to get together?
That'd be wild. I don't think so. I don't think that's what's going to happen.
But do you think they have Natalie Portman on for like 3 more movies? Like, no, I feel like no way.
Well, no, but so here's the thing.
How old is Natalie Portman?
Like late 30s, I think.
I feel like she's been acting for so long. I'm like,
oh yeah, she started acting. She's like,
she's like 38. And so like what, but I mean like for her to be reintroduced to, I guess I'm still thinking about this in like James Bond terms. But Chris Hemsworth is 35, you know, like who's the Benedict Cumberbatch, right?
He's like, is he in his 40s? He seems like he'd be like in his 40s.
Yeah, he's 43, so he's old.
Okay. I know Robert Downey Jr. is older.
Yeah, I guess there's no real reason why you can't be old and in like a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
I just wonder like how, like, is she going to want to do like a few movies? Like, I don't know.
I bet you Lady Thor dies at the end of this one. I think that's, I mean, the comics, I won't spoil the comics. Never mind.
But they're not good to her.
They are the. It's actually a very interesting take on Lady Thor, and I really like what they did. I don't want to spoil it because if this is the comic arc that they're pulling for this movie, that's kind of a huge spoiler. So, but yeah,
gotcha.
I'm hyped. I love the logo design. I mean, the logos for pretty much all of these announced films and properties look pretty great, except for the Loki one.
Yeah, I'm just like. The shows, they really just kind of scrape the bottom of the barrel. I feel like all of these shows are just like the stars realizing, like, I guess we'll do TV now. Like, I guess they're definitely getting like a downgrade.
It's probably a bigger paycheck than whatever other movie, like whatever non-Disney movie they would have done, though. So, but man, I can't wait for, I just love the title, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, what a badass title.
Yeah. I hope it's like, I know they said it's not going to be like a straight horror movie. They're going to call it a scary movie, but I want to see just like how spooky can they get? Because like Scott Derrickson, he's a horror director.
What other movies has he directed?
He directed Sinister. He directed The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Ah.
He did, what is that one? He did one with, it's about like these cops fighting demons with like Eric Bana and... that one Spectre? Blonde dude from Community.
McHale?
Yeah, Joel McHale and Eric Bana.
Is it a Netflix movie?
No, it was a real movie. It was like See No Evil or something.
Oh, yeah, See No Evil. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that movie is probably his worst film, but I love Sinister. I like Exorcist and Melanie Rose. I love Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange gets better every time I watch it. I fucking love that movie.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they do with it because it feels like almost all the pressure's off.
Yeah.
Like now it's like now it should be let's get weird. Like
that's exactly what phase four I think is about. Other than Black Widow, like the Eternals, that's a property I didn't expect them to like make a fucking movie out of. Also, apparently Kumail Nanjiani is playing Thanos's brother.
Oh, is that what the Eternals are? Like,
yeah, the Eternals are they're the race.
They're
that,
Titans.
Yeah.
Oh, what have all these people been doing while Thanos has been like annihilating existence?
Well, he did it pretty quickly. Like, you know, the events of Infinity War.
I guess that only took 10 years, right?
Oh, no, because like for him, he got the last 3 stones in a span of like 3 days.
True. Yeah, they didn't. But yeah,
because for some godforsaken reason, half the stones were on Earth. So he only had to go to one planet to get half of the gauntlet.
Yeah, why didn't, like, Captain Marvel eat one? And just, like, always have it in her body?
That's, well, she wasn't in Infinity War, remember? She was out doing space shit.
Right, yeah, why'd she let this happen?
Because she didn't know, you know? The universe is vast. She doesn't have cosmic awareness.
Nobody told her. They have like a whole button and they're like, hey, Thanos is getting all the Infinity Stones. He's going to kill us all.
They had a pager.
Let's call Captain Marvel.
She had a pager.
And they didn't page her.
And yeah, because what's his name?
Nick Fury?
Nick Fury didn't realize what was happening until he got dusted.
What an idiot. You mean Talos?
Yeah. We'll see. We shall see.
What's your favorite announcement from this whole shebang?
I think it's probably Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
I love this property so much. And if we get this, like, if we get a proper multiverse introduction, because I know they teased it in Spider-Man, but, like, I want to see him hopping from multiverse to multiverse. I want him to visit, like, the Cancerverse. I think that's, like,
what's the Cancerverse?
So, the Cancerverse is a universe in which nothing can ever die. So it literally started as a single cell that just kept on replicating like for eternity. And now it's a universe literally made out of flesh that's all grown out of one single cell because nothing can die.
Oh, I don't like that actually.
It's fucking awesome. It is some of the most metal shit I've ever read in a comic book. It's if they visit the Cancerverse. And Doctor Strange is, like, the character to do that with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%.
I want them to get Lovecraftian. That's really what I want them to get.
Yeah. All right, Rob. I think, is it time? Is it time to transition?
I guess we have to.
Yeah.
We gotta bring it down a level.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Rob. Explain what we saw. Explain the movie. Set it up. Tell the people what it is.
We saw The Lion King 2019. Jon Favreau's live-action adaptation of the beloved Disney classic, The Lion King, which in itself is an animated adaptation of Hamlet, which I love. And boy, this movie is...
It's not fucking Hamlet. It's not fucking Hamlet.
It totally is. What do you think it is, Macbeth?
It's not... It's Kimba.
Kimba's Hamlet.
Kimba's not Hamlet.
Kimba's so Hamlet.
They just okay. I'm gonna
dude,
say
Timon and Pumbaa, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
No, they're not. Other than the fact that they're two characters, they have no similarities with Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
They're comedic relief.
No, they betray Hamlet, and Hamlet kills them.
Yes, it's not a straight adaptation. It's still a kids' movie.
Yeah,
A Bug's Life is still an adaptation of Seven Samurai, but it doesn't follow that plot line to a T.
Yeah, but it gets more the only thing that it really has in common is that there's a king who is killed by his brother,
whose son has to return to claim the throne.
No, Hamlet doesn't leave. He's there at the castle. He's there the whole time.
He gets captured by pirates.
What?
Have you read Hamlet?
Yeah.
I don't think you've read Hamlet.
How does Hamlet open, Robert?
I don't remember.
It's the guards are being approached by the ghost of Hamlet Sr. And they're like, hey, Hamlet, your dad's out here. That is literally how it opens.
Yeah. And you remember the scene where the ghost of Mufasa, Simba's dad, shows up?
Yeah. And says, you can do it, son. You can kill your uncle.
Please kill your uncle for me.
Yeah, no, that's
exactly.
Do me a solid. Kill the guy who's banging your mom.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I don't know what to tell you, man. The Lion King is an animated adaptation of Hamlet.
Nah, whatever. I will debate this to anybody. It doesn't make any sense to me. That they're like, oh, it's like Hamlet.
Yeah, it's not painted in broad strokes, but it's Hamlet.
Right, it's got like this, like a similar premise. like, if the journey of Hamlet is his dad dies because of his uncle takes his throne, and then Hamlet must kill his uncle.
Yeah, that's Hamlet. That's the Lion King.
Oh, boy. Yeah, sure. Oh, God. All right. Well, yeah.
Let's talk about Hamlet.
Lion King is like the Wikipedia summary of Hamlet. If you only...
Lion King is the Spark Notes version of Hamlet, yes.
Not even the Spark Notes. It's like the Spark Notes of the Spark Notes. It's like if you had to distill Hamlet down into one, like, one sentence with no conjunctions, like, that's how... That's what Lion King is. Lion King is starring Donald Glover as adult Simba, James Earl Jones as Mufasa, weird. Beyonce as adult Nala, Billy Eichner as Timon, Seth Rogen as Pumbaa, Chiwetel Ejiofor as Scar. Who am I missing? John Oliver as Zazu.
Eric Andre as one of the hyenas.
The hyenas. And then Keegan-Michael Key as also one of the hyenas.
And then there's a third hyena that I don't know.
No, yeah, this is for. this movie. What do we think about this movie, Rob?
Trash.
I don't like this. I didn't like this movie.
This is bad necromancy. This is bad necromancy on Disney's part. It's disgusting. It's off-putting.
It looks weird. It looks weird, and it honestly has me wondering if the first Lion King was good.
The first Lion King is great.
That's how bad this is.
The only thing running through my mind while watching this movie is how fucking good it made the first Lion King look. I really loved the first Lion King, but watching this movie and then comparing it in my mind to, like, the musical numbers of the original Lion King, the animation, just the staging, the framing of everything. The original Lion King is beautiful, and there's so much character and personality. This movie has none of that. This movie looks like... It looks like somebody tried to make a narrative story out of, like, Mother Nature. What's that Netflix nature
Planet
series?
Earth.
Planet Earth. Sure. That's one of them.
Our planet.
There's so many.
Yeah. It doesn't really. Okay. One of the bad things. So it is like almost a shot for shot remake. But there's another half hour added to this one. The first one is 88 minutes long. This is an hour and 58 minutes.
I don't understand how. How did they add 30 minutes to this movie and still have it say less?
Yeah, it felt... I honestly have not wanted to walk out of a movie in a long time. And that was... I was definitely there. I was like, I really, really don't want to watch the rest of this. Because it's boring when you're watching, like... It seems like... I heard somebody describe it as, like, watching a children's play... of like a famous play, and you're like, it's all there, but not really.
It was,
you know,
cute for the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, the first 10 minutes of photorealism are really breathtaking. It is really astonishing that they made it look so photorealistic. It really just starts to fall apart when they start talking.
Mm-hmm.
And when, like, they try to start communicating and delivering lines, it just does not, it doesn't track well.
Yeah, and that's...
The emotion is lost.
One of the things that it really confused me about this, the performances in this film, because I can't actually tell if anybody was giving a bad voice acting performance. It just feels bad because the characters don't emote at all.
It felt like watching a really bad dub.
Yeah. I don't know why they decided to make these animals, like, so realistic. Like, it really struck me when John Oliver's voice started coming out of Zazu. I'm just like, he's a very expressive guy. He's a joy to watch, like, whenever he's doing anything live action.
Right.
I got none of that in this movie. It felt like they sucked all the life out of his performance. And that goes
for really
every
character.
Yeah,
they really chopped up all the songs in weird ways as well. I know the songs are some of the best parts for me, I think the Lion King soundtrack is a little overrated. Sue me, I know I'm the worst.
Yeah, the only one better than that is the Tarzan soundtrack.
Yeah, no, we all agree on that.
Yeah.
Tarzan soundtrack is OP. But they sang Can You Feel the Love Tonight during the day.
They didn't even animate like bedroom eyes, dude.
Yeah, it's... Can you feel the love tonight? It's in the day. It's like it's in the fucking song. Like this, the name. It's not even like deep in the bridge.
Yeah,
it's not like a surprise at the very end where it's like, oh, it was all night. No, it's in the fucking name of the song.
Yeah, I don't know
what
why.
What?
Why did they have to film this during the day? Like to preserve like temporal coherence? Be like, oh, well, the scene before just took place during the day. Like they met during the day, so they have to sing the song in the day. You control the fucking animation. You control every, like, I don't even know if they shot anything live action in this film. You can tell me this is all
computer generated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one wild and very impressive, but you could have made this movie look so fucking cool. And instead you choose to make it look the most boring. It looks bad for like a nature documentary.
Yeah. And it looks, I mean, like the special effects are pretty astonishing. Like it does look like photorealistic in a lot of places. And you're like, wow, those lions look like lions. Yeah. It seems like a concept video where they're like, hey, I bet we can do Circle of Life, but like photorealistic, and be like, wow, that sounds cool. And then they did it and they're like, holy shit, let's make a whole movie. And everyone's like, nah, I don't know about that. Like, this would probably be pretty fucking weird if they started talking. Like, no, let's do it. We'll make $1 billion. They're like, all right, I guess we'll do it. And then they did it kind of shitty. And then the guy was right. It makes $1 billion.
Yeah. I mean, it's Disney. It's a beloved property. I don't think anyone expected this movie to make less than $1 billion. But I'm just
sad.
This movie
made $191 million in its first weekend in America.
Yeah.
This movie made over $500 million this weekend all over the world.
The top three films in the box office this week are all Disney films.
The top five box office of 2019 are all Disney movies.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Disney's, you know, hey, Bob Iger, you're killing it, man.
Yeah, look at all that. Look at all that shit.
Look at what you've brought.
Look at all this shit.
Hey, maybe cats will save us.
Oh, man. Jeez. It's made $564 million in its opening weekend.
Yeah, I don't think it deserves to, but, you know.
Everybody got money.
That stacked cast.
Yeah.
People want to see realistic lions, but.
Right. Yeah. None of the voices are that bad. Beyonce's pretty bad.
Yeah.
She's not
an actress.
She's reading the lines.
Yeah. She's putting about as much emotion into her line reads as her character is showing. So
yeah,
maybe that's actually the best performance of the movie.
Yeah. Let's talk maybe about some key scenes, and whether or not they worked. I can't wait to be king. Yeah, can't wait to be king. Significantly worse.
Yes.
In terms of the color palette and the singing. Mufasa's death scene.
Hilariously bad. I don't know how they fuck it up that bad.
And that then the funniest zoom part from Simba?
Yeah, when Simba is reminded of Mufasa's death and they flash back
to it.
They showed it again.
Because it was literally like an hour and a half ago. Like, yeah. Like holy shit, this is so long.
And it looked so bad. Oh god. What other pivotal scenes? Oh, Be Prepared ruined that musical number.
It's just like, yeah, like half
he,
a minute.
He climbs, like, he it's like half a minute. He climbs a couple steps and then says Be Prepared. Whereas like in the original, there's this fantastic musical number. You got green flames going everywhere. You have this disgusting looking color palette. All the hyenas are core, like they're dancing and biting. Ah, oh, dude, the original is so fucking good. There's so many iconic scenes from the original that have no presence here at all. And I think one of the most egregious is actually when he talks to Mufasa in the sky and Mufasa's like, you are my son. Remember who you are. They don't even animate it. It's just a fucking thundercloud. He's just
yelling.
Yeah, it
did not look like it. Looked vaguely in the shape of a lion.
Very, very vaguely. But it's a thundercloud.
Yeah.
They also ruined Rafiki.
Rafiki doesn't do anything in this movie.
And he's like the best character of the original.
Yeah, definitely. I've got one compliment for this movie.
Go for it.
I think Billy Eichner is the best part of the movie for me.
Really?
Yeah. I thought Timon and Pumbaa were the only ones who did anything like trying to reinvent the character, or trying to build off the original.
Yeah.
Everything else like felt like cheap imitations. They felt like, hey, we're doing our own bits, kind of like right now. We're trying to get our own shit together.
I did think it was weird how much self-aware humor they had. Like, that felt very out of place in this movie. And also,
that means it wasn't shitty, because if it felt in place, it would have been like, wow, this really stood up with all the other shit in this movie.
Yeah. I think I like the original voice actor for Timon more. But also, I'm clearly just biased towards the original.
Nathan Lane.
Yes, Nathan Lane.
It's hard not to compare to the original here in every aspect.
Because it's a shot for shot remake.
Yeah, this movie wouldn't make sense without the first one. And there are still even parts. So I've got some key questions for this movie. And this might just, like, all of Lion King together. How much time has passed when Simba goes to the oasis, meets Timon and Pumbaa, and then we see him transition into a full lion? How much time has that been?
Probably just like 7 years or so. I think lions grow pretty quickly.
7 years?
Lions grow maybe in less than 7 years.
No, I'm thinking like 8 months. Like,
really?
I think they go lion pretty fast.
Do they? I know jack shit about lions, so you could be right.
I guess, like, how long does it take Scar to destroy the Pride Lands?
Yeah, probably like a year to eat everything.
Yeah, I mean, why is saying, oh, the hyenas can eat everything now, like, they can eat as much as they want. Why does that destroy everything?
Because they just can't stop. They just take and take and take and take and take, and they don't pay taxes.
just like people from Texas.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's a scene in the movie where Nala is like, hey, I gotta go find help. I'll see you guys later. And she ends up in the oasis. She ends up in the oasis and seeing Simba. But where the fuck was she going? Like, where she just went somewhere? Yeah. Like, what was she gonna do when she got there if it wasn't Simba?
She was just looking for help.
Yeah.
She was just looking. She just wanted to get away.
And then they go like right back to it. See, that's what makes you think that it has not been that long. Because they get like right back to it. They're like, oh, haha, like, we're still in love, LOL. Yeah. It makes me think it's like been 8 months and
it probably has been, you know? I think animals. I think lions have a significantly shorter lifespan than humans, so they probably mature a lot faster.
I hope so. I hope there's no like 60-year-old lions.
Yeah. But yeah. It's,
I'm saying there's some plot holes in this movie. Agree or disagree?
Is that a plot hole?
Who's Nala's dad? Where are the other male lions?
They're just roaming. That's actually
where?
That's a question though a lot of people have, right? Like, are Simba and Nala related? Are they brother and sister?
Yeah, well, at least like half brother, half sister.
Yeah, could be, maybe. I will say too, in that scene when
I like your casual like, yeah, could be, who, yeah,
is that gonna... who knows? I don't have the answers you're looking for, man.
Right, yeah. That's my problem. No one has these goddamn answers.
You're gonna have to just ask Bob Iger himself when you get to meet him.
I have a question for John Favreau.
You get on the Disney investor board, go to a board meeting, all just to ask Bob Iger this one question.
Yeah, how much stock do you need to have in Disney to be able to show up to an investors meeting?
A shit ton. You got to be Robert. Do you think Robert Downey Jr. has a lot of Disney stock?
Do you think they pay him in stock? I feel like they pay him in cold hard cash.
Probably. I bet cash
is not as good as Disney stock.
Well, because I think his agent probably worked out a deal when he saw where the MCU was going and was like, hey, we'll take stock options instead.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, I would love to see that deal. Yeah.
I don't know. Could be. I don't like any scene with lions in this movie. I'm just going to put that out there. They all look the fucking same.
Especially, not even the lions fighting, which was going to be the best part.
It was supposed to be the coolest part, because that's the most metal shit in the original movie. When Simba comes out of the flames, fucking T-posing, and then slaps Scar across the face.
Yeah.
That's just badass. In this movie, you got some embers floating off in the distance. They're roaring at each other. You know, they're trying to give good performances, but boy, it does not show.
Everything really falls apart. I think that in every aspect, this movie is worse than the original Lion King, and not by a little.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, they just went under the bar.
Yeah, it's not like it's not interchangeable where it's like, oh, you could watch either one just depending on your preference. Like, no, if you prefer this one, you have bad taste. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It just doesn't look fun. It looks.
Yeah, there's nothing fun about it. The songs even feel toned down. And like, these are musical people. Like, Donald Glover, he should be belting this shit out. He's a very talented person. These songs should sound great. I should be humming these songs in my head on the way out of the theater.
Easy.
Didn't happen.
What's the I'm like, don't see this movie. I don't want you to see it. It wasn't like a joyful bad movie. Like, I've seen a lot of bad movies in the theaters and have not felt like I gotta get out of here, but this was just like aggressively upsetting.
Well, because this movie just felt so corporate and so empty. Like other bad movies, I think a bad movie is fun when you can tell that there is like heart and soul put into it.
Mm-hmm.
This movie has none of that. Like you can tell this is just a cash grab. It worked.
It's made
$564 million in its first weekend.
$1 million, yeah.
Here's my question though: what the fuck did Jon Favreau even do directing this movie? Like, he's
it was like directed in VR or some shit like that. Like it, no, like literally, I'm not. This isn't a joke.
Like Avatar.
Like,
that's how he
like
directed it. Yeah,
he directed it all in VR.
Well, it's not. He didn't have like a VR headset on, but like he had like a tablet that he would take around the set that would show him like what a previs would look like.
Oh, I think Favreau actually did it like in VR.
God, I hope so. Behind the scenes would be pretty interesting for this film, but God, yeah, this movie's trash. This movie's upsetting, and it's making a shit ton of money.
Yeah, when will it ever stop? Like, I don't think it will.
Not if they keep making money like this, but
right. What's next? Like, but Mulan looks kind of good.
See, that's
Mulan
looks
like what we've been like waiting for, something that's like a slight reimagining.
I am very excited for Mulan. That's actually one of the ones I thought I was going to be least excited for. But after seeing the trailer and seeing like, oh, they're like, this is a proper remake. Like, this is a reinterpretation of the original.
Yes.
I'm there for that. And I hope they do that with like, I mean, I guess they kind of did it with like Maleficent. I haven't really seen those films, but I hear it's like a reframing, or it's a revisionist version of the original Sleeping Beauty story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's cool. I would much rather see Disney do that to their properties than just a straight live action remake. Or what I also hope they do, that I know is never going to happen, remake their live action films with 2D animation.
Go on. Like which movies?
I'm trying to think of,
a live action Disney movie.
I'm only thinking of like DCOM movies right now. And as fun, like those would be fun to see redone in 2D animation, but, like the Country Bears. there are a lot of just really
Pirates
bad.
Of the Caribbean. Is that a Disney movie?
Actually, I think Pirates of the Caribbean. Well, okay. The first three, are perfect. You don't need to touch those at all. You can make like the fourth and fifth ones, remake those in an animated style. I think you're golden. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Remake The Lone Ranger animated, remake Tomorrowland animated, but still have Brad Bird direct it. I think that'd be dope as fuck.
Yeah. Where's the live action remake of Iron Giant? That'd be
it's
disgusting.
Called Ready Player One.
Okay. That's funny.
Yeah, I practiced that in the mirror this morning.
I think you're the only person who's ever seen that movie.
Ready Player One?
Yeah.
Dude, it made $500 million at the box office.
That's nothing.
It's a Ready Player One.
The Lion King made $564
million. I know. But Ready Player One is super fun. what I really want them to do, though, live action remakes of Treasure Planet and Atlantis Lost Empire.
Yeah, that's what we need.
That would be so fucking cool.
Right. Where are those? They're really not utilizing the live action remake the correct way.
These are beloved franchises. And like those would probably cost less than The Lion King.
Yeah, I don't even know what The Lion King cost, but I'm sure it was upwards of $200 million.
Yeah, I believe so.
But it's going to be like the highest grossing movie of all time. Like, it's going to make so much goddamn money.
What if The Lion King passes Endgame, since Endgame just fucking passed Avatar?
Yeah, that would be that would be a worse timeline.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh God.
Well, yeah, this is a sad state of affairs. But we got good stuff coming on next week though. What we got next week, Rob?
We got the new Tarantino film.
Yeah, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I'm seeing that on Thursday in 35mm at the Alamo Draft House. I'm so excited.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I'm probably going to see this a few times. I'm probably going to see it once in regular theater, once in 35mm. Oh, I'm excited.
God, yeah. I wonder how many times I'm going to see this in theaters. I hear it's great. I hear it's his most violent film.
Really?
Yeah, which is surprising considering the setting. But, you know,
that's how
Tarantino do.
Yeah, I'm so glad. I don't know anything about it. I'm just
same.
I'm ready for it. Yeah, it's gonna be it's 2.5 hours long. It's got everything I want.
Oh yeah, God, I can't wait. Yeah, this is gonna be great. And then after the weekend after that, we got Fast and Furious, Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh, I've got only so much time to watch all the Fast and Furious movies.
Oh, you better get started. But you can also just start at 5.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's what I've heard.
Yeah,
but I kind of want to watch the really bad ones.
Yeah, you can. We can save that for when you're here.
For a rainy day. Yeah.
Yeah,
we shall.
Movies are getting good again. We had to deal with The Lion King. It was hugely disappointing and shouldn't exist. But yeah, Tarantino is.
We're about to
Tarantino
get a really
back,
good
baby
palate cleanser. Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, we've been the viewing anglers. You're viewing angels.
Yeah.
Y'all, you nuts.
Yeah, we're fishing for angels out here.
Yeah, exactly. I've been Dan Leo. Follow me on Twitter, you know, at the Dan Leo Show, and follow the podcast at Viewing Angles, and you know, viewingangles.com, and follow Spotify. Listen on Spotify. That's what we've been told. Yeah. All right, Rob, how do the people
Gives
get in touch
Spotify
with you?
Ready. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram and Letterboxd at Robert Jr. JR. And if you're in Austin, you want to come hang out on Thursday when I go to see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, feel free to come say hi to me and then stab me. It's cool.
Yeah. He just said it's cool. We have it on. It's recorded.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, until next week, nuts. It's been real.
Bye.
Bye.